morning. Since my talk involves intrinsically disordered protein, I will begin with a brief introduction about them. It is very well known in biochemistry that amino acid sequence codes for the three-dimensional structure, which is a prerequisite for the function of a protein. But over the past 5 decades, researchers have been discovering some proteins which do not have a well-defined three-dimensional structure, but still they carry out function. So which are called or known as intrinsically disordered or intrinsically unstructured proteins. In this picture you can see this is an intrinsically disordered protein which, when binds to its biological partner, form a pair of helices. So this, in some instances, they gain some structure upon binding to their partners. And recently it has been revealed that disordered segments in proteins are encoded by various genomes, especially in the higher eukaryotes. And interestingly, these IDPs, they differ from the typical globular proteins by having some peculiar characters, like they have some amino acid compositional bias towards like hydrophilic charged amino acids. They are depleted in hydrophobic amino acids. They contain some specific like amino acid or sequence repeats. Being intrinsically disordered, they have some functional advantages also. Like, because of their flexibility, they bind to multiple ligands, possibly through multiple conformations. And since the sites in the disorder region are easily accessible, they are also subjected to lots of post-translational modifications of various kinds. With this brief introduction, I move to the proteins of our interest in the lab. These are the binder of sperm proteins. These are basically produced by mammalian male reproductive system. They were initially discovered in the bovine seminal plasma and subsequently discovered in many other mammalian species, including human. And in the bovine BSPs are well characterized in terms of their biological functions, and they constitute more than 50% of total seminal plasma proteins. And it's been well established that they play a role in sperm capacitation by promoting the cholesterol and phospholipid reflex from the sperm membrane. And my focus is on the one of the BSP protein, that is bovine BSP5. The modular structure consists of a long N-terminal part followed by two domains. These are highly similar and conserved fibronectin type 2 domains joined by a small linker. And based on some modeling studies and bioinformatics studies done previously in the lab, we have hypothesized that the domains have different functions. Like, A domain is responsible for binding to capacitation factors, whereas B domain is responsible for binding to sperm membrane. And of course, the role of N-terminal part has remained elusive. So as a first step towards understanding the role of individual domains, and especially the N-terminal part, we cloned all the individual domains and the combination of domains and expressed them and purified them, and they were confirmed by the Western blot using specific antibodies. So when we purified the proteins containing especially the N-terminal part, this has two tags, like it was cloned in two variations. So it was observed that it differed from the expected molecular weight, and the deviation from the expected molecular weight increases as the tag is removed. So we just wanted to confirm the molecular weight. So when to resolve this ambiguity, we did the molecular weight determination by MALDI-TOF. And in the spectrum, you can see that the major components show the expected molecular weight of the HCS tag internal part. And further, the LC-MS-MS analysis identified a 21 amino acid peptide. So these results confirmed that the amino acid, the protein with the anomalous migration in the SDS page is in fact the HCS tagged internal part. So because in the literature it's known that the highly charged sequences give rise to anomalous migration, so we wanted to look at the primary sequence of the protein, and upon close inspection we found that especially the N-terminal part is heavily charged and also is enriched in proline, and it is depleted in hydrophobic amino acids. So, and I just looked at, we have some servers available which predict the disordered regions. So when this sequence was analyzed by the disordered predictor server Ponder, 1 to 56 amino acids out of 71 present in the internal part were predicted as disorder. And interestingly, all the sites of glycosylation were present in the regions predicted as disorder. And also we found that this sequence possessed all the peculiar features that are generally associated with disorder, and we also had some amino acid sequence repeats also. And further, like, there is to know if a protein is disordered or ordered, it can be known by the charge hydropathy plot, in which a boundary separates the disorder and order proteins. In this plot, basically we plot the mean net charge of the protein versus mean scaled hydrophobicity. So when this was plotted for the internal part, the full length protein, the disordered part having the high net charge and low hydrophobicity fell on the disordered region. And of course, I'm not talking about this, but another protein that we also found to have some disorder at the internals fell on the boundary line. So this gave us enough evidence, bioinformatics evidence, that this protein is intrinsically disordered. So then we wanted to confirm this by experimental methods. There are various experimental approaches that are available to confirm this. One of the things is, because these proteins, they lack a compact fold, they are easily accessible by proteases, they are highly vulnerable to proteases, and since they don't have any hydrophobic amino acids and they are generally enriched in charged and hydrophilic amino acids, they don't get aggregated and precipitated even at high temperatures. And even their circular dichroism spectra of these proteins is very characteristic. They don't show, as they lack alpha helix and beta peak, they don't show that peaks there, but instead they show a minima peak at around 200 nanometers. And even if we already have a X-ray crystal structure, the disordered regions are not picked up because they don't scatter the X-rays coherently in that region. Actually, the first proof for this disorder came from the purification itself, because whenever I was trying to purify the N-domain, it was always observed that, and these experiments were done at 4 degrees and in the presence of protease inhibitor cocktail, like, we had this kind of degradation pattern that we saw on the STS page. And the Western blot further confirmed that these are in fact degradation products. And when we looked at the sequence and we analyzed this, we found that the N-terminus part had a high PEST score of 6.75. It is said that more than plus 5, it could be a potentially proteolytically sensitive region. As we know that the PEST regions, the higher the PEST score, they reduce the protein life, off-life. So another simple test is, since we know that these proteins are heat stable, the purified protein was taken and it was boiled for 30 minutes and then centrifuged. Since the protein is after the centrifugation, this protein is found in the supernatant, whereas a typical globular protein is found in the pellet. And we exploited this for the purification, because, and this eliminated the protease of the E. coli, and it led to the purity and yield improvement. So then finally, the CT spectrum again confirmed the disordered nature of the protein, and then this left us wondering about the functional studies, because the full-length protein is known to bind to heparin, phosphorylcholine and gelatin. We just checked the binding studies of this internal part. It showed that it doesn't bind. So this made us to wonder if there is a disorder region present in the other members of the BSP family. When they were checked by the same prediction software, we had many other disordered regions. So to conclude, the N-terminal part in Bowen BSP5 is intrinsically disordered, and they appear to be playing a displaced site for glycosylation. And we observed that there is a disorder region in some members of the BSP family, which suggests a possible functional role. Still, we still exactly don't know the functional part, but we speculate that it could be affecting the interaction of the domains, or it may be interacting with the macromolecules present in the female reproductive tract. And finally, I would like to thank the lab members and CHR for these analysis.
We have a couple of minutes for questions. Okay, maybe I'll get us started again. I think the last part kind of tapped into probably what a lot of us are wondering about is what the functional significance of this part of the protein is. I mean, it seems to be conserved across species. You've shown some things that it doesn't bind.
Yeah.
And you've speculated about things that it might bind. But I just wonder if there are any functional data in the literature, perhaps polymorphisms in humans, anything that gives any kind of insight into what this part of the protein might actually be doing.
No, actually, but reproduction, there are two reproduction-related proteins from rat that have shown to have similar disorder. And they still in the studies are like, they're very recent, and they still don't know about the exact functions.
Just to follow up on that, yeah. I have a second question. Do you find that in the other family members where you have this similar disordered part, they're also glycosylated, and is this found in other glycosylated proteins?
They're subjected to any kind of post-translational modifications, either glycosylation or phosphorylation. In the BSP, some proteins are glycosylated, and not all the disorder regions are glycosylated.
Thank you. You want one? Okay, we have one more question coming.
Amy Ryan, Pediatrics. I just have, I guess, a question philosophically, thinking about a disordered protein. Of if you have conserved regions in a protein, does the disorder have something to do with it, or? Like, I'm just thinking, if they were conserved alpha helices, then that would also be suggest, you know, maybe biological relevance. But so I'm just trying to sort of, I guess, figure out in my mind what the disorder in particular has to do with.
Yeah,
the function.
Generally, disorder is implicated in the interactions in which the protein binds to multiple targets. It is because the disorder region can bind to multiple targets with high affinity but low specificity. And generally, the most of the proteins that are implicated to have disorder regions are involved in cell cycle regulation, transcription, and translational control.
Okay, so I want to thank, we both want to thank the three speakers in the second session.